In Scripture, there is not a better foundation than Jesus Christ himself. And when your life is built upon the foundation of Jesus, you can withstand the storms of life. Anybody ever been through a storm? Yeah, we're all shaking our head. We have been through the storms of life. It may be that you're going through a storm right now. Many people in this world they think this is the worst they've ever had it in their lifetime. I'm glad I'm built on a sure foundation. Amen. I'm glad I know Jesus, that even when the storms of life come, we're solid. We can stand. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I know him. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers. My Sunday school teacher from when I was, 8 or 9 years old, she's on my Facebook. And she had a wedding anniversary this last week. And so I pinned her a little note of appreciation. And it made me think again of the sacrifice, that Sunday school teachers for decades, even now, Sunday school teachers that we have here at Revival Tabernacle, the sacrifice, the time, the effort, the energy, the frustrations that they go through, sometimes of their own expense, using their own resource to add to what they can do for their kids because they have a burden and they're working to instill and to build a solid foundation in the lives of our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephew. You should be thankful for that. You should appreciate Sunday school teachers. You should appreciate Pastor Pinero and pastors all over the world, and evangelists and teachers that work sometimes at subsistence levels of pay, sometimes without a lot of thank yous to go around, working sometimes decades in a town that may not be real big, and may seem like there's not very many people at all in that town that want to serve God, but because God has called them there, because God has placed a burden on their heart, then they obey. And they do what God calls them to do, and they make sacrifices to establish foundations in your life and in my life, to build churches of people, not so much edifices that we can gather together. So thank God for that. In Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse 15, the scripture says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And so we see that pastors come from God. They come from the Lord. God sends them to feed us with knowledge and understanding. I'm thankful for saints that give of their skills and abilities. I had not been in the church building March 12th, March 13th, something like that. So it's been 2 solid months since I've been in the church. And I can tell there's been people here, maybe 2, 3, 4 at a time, but it's beautiful. There's new tile, there's new paint, there's soundboards up where there weren't before, because people have been making themselves available under pastor's leadership and guidance and direction, and working, sacrificing to make sure that the lights are on and that there is a pleasant place, a nice place, a comfortable place, that when we can gather together, and Lord willing, that won't be too far from now, when we can gather together with, maybe we can't put 100 in here, but there's a plan, and we can have fewer, and we can honor the rules that are thrust upon us, but there is power and unity in worshiping God in a corporate manner. And I'm looking forward to that, with gathering together with those of you of like faith, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord together. And it can happen because there's been sacrifices that are being made. I'm thankful for a sure foundation. And if the tenets of your life, the underpinnings of your life are built upon the foundation of Jesus, you can withstand. You can, when you've done all that you can do, you can still stand when you've built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ himself. And if you're not, if that foundation is not as solid as it can be, you can shore it up. You can get the mix right tonight. You can repent right where you're at, where you're sitting, where you're standing, wherever you're at, across the world. You can repent of your sins. God can fill you with his Spirit. You can find a tank of water and get somebody to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of that is because of the love of a Savior. I'm thankful for the love of God, aren't you? In John chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said this. He said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And so it is his love that draws us. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? That when your mind was elsewhere, when you weren't thinking of Jesus, when you weren't thinking of anything that was right and pure and holy, yet the love of God, most often working through a human being. That might prick your heart. Perhaps it should prick your heart, because most often it's going to be through you and me or another person that the person out there is going to feel and experience and know the love of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm thankful for the love of God that draws us. Amen. That draws us, his everlasting love. And so when we look at the world situation that we're in now, I can see some benefits of all of this. I can see some advantages. And it took me a few weeks for me to be able to see that, because it was all pretty, you know, we were all, I think things looked a little more bleak in March when we knew much less than we do now, and things looked much worse then. But I believe that God in his love, in his everlasting love, in his love that continually is seeking to draw mankind to him, just kind of engineered some changes in our society to give us a chance to reestablish our relationship with him, to draw us back to him. It may be that this pandemic saved you. Some of you weren't thinking of Jesus. Some of you, some of us, life is busy. You know, it's pretty easy to get busy doing important things and just not have as much time, perhaps, as we once had for the Lord, and not have as much time as we once made for God, and for prayer, and for personal devotion, and for Bible reading. But look at you. Here you are on Wednesday night. You're tuned in to a Bible study. You're only tuned in because you didn't know it was me. You thought it was going to be Pastor. But thank you for doing that. And some of you will attend 3, 4, 5 Bible studies or services this week. You weren't doing that 2 months ago. You weren't doing that 3 months ago. Some of you perhaps had not been to a church in 6 months, maybe since the Christmas service. Easter happened during this whole thing. Some of you have been more faithful to God in the last couple of months. You have made fresh consecrations. You have made fresh commitments, and God bless you for that. He is blessing you for it. And you better thank God that he allowed some adversity to come our way, that he allowed some things to conspire together, if you will, culture and society and decisions that government leaders made that we may or may not agree with. But yet God can work some good out of anything and everything. And thank God for that. He has saved us through this. He has kept us through this, through his amazing love, his everlasting love. You better thank God for allowing some uncertainty to come into your life. You should thank God for allowing some perhaps financial hardship or financial uncertainty, some financial question, not really knowing how it's all going to pan out, because those things have worked together to get you to perhaps bend a knee again and to call out to God and to cry out to him and to reconnect with that sure foundation, to remember that you're built upon the foundation of Jesus, and the winds of turmoil and adversity and life can blow, and uncertainties can manifest themselves, and we don't know exactly. We think we have a better idea of how we think this is all going to turn out now than we had a couple of months ago, but we don't really know. We don't know what tomorrow holds, what next week holds, what next month holds, but I know the one that does. And if I can hold on to his hand, if I can keep hold of his hand, I'm going to be able to stand. If I stay on the foundation of Jesus Christ, let the winds blow. Let the adversity come. My heart is fixed. My gaze is fixed. I'm not going to waver. A sure foundation. Some of you had allowed offense to poison your spirit. what others thought had become more important to you than what is right. Winston Churchill said this. He said, when you're 20, you care about what everyone thinks. When you're 40, you stop caring what everyone else thinks. And when you're 60, you realize no one was thinking about you anyway. And whether that is true or not, the truth is that you should be trying to please God and not please man. That's really what's important. I want God to be pleased with me. I want him to be pleased with how I spend my time, how I spend my effort, how I spend my energy, how I spend my money. It's him that I'm trying to impress. It's him that I'm trying to get it right for. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul writing to the New Testament church, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. He said, you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It also says in another verse, don't let your good be evil spoken of. So we should care what others think to some extent. But what really matters is what God thinks. And you know, we got to figure that out for ourselves. We got to work out our own salvation. We got to say, you know, and that doesn't mean come up with your own doctrine and your own way of, you know, the word of God is unchanging and everlasting. And there's only one way to be saved. But you got to figure it out in your own head that, you know what? Living for God is more important to me than anything else. And let that not just be in times of adversity that we seek out God. Let it not just be in times of adversity, in times of questions and times of insecurity in different ways in our life, that we find that place of recommitment and that we find that altar of consecration and that altar of devotion that sometimes is much easier to find in times of distress, in times of difficulty. I don't want God to have to engineer times of difficulty in my life to get me to pray. I want to seek out his presence, and I want him to know that I am seeking out his presence because I love him, because I want to make it to heaven. Amen? I don't want him to have to say, you know what? I love Brother Drosick so much. He's kind of slacking. He's relying not on me. He's relying on other things. So let me just create some hardship. Let me just withdraw this or that. God forbid that he should have to do those things to get our attention. I'm thankful for the love of God, for the mercy of God. The scripture says his mercy is fresh every morning. How many of you need the mercy of God every morning, every day? Amen. And so that's where we're at today. And looking ahead from here, I think most of us are going to be a little more aware. We're going to be a little more appreciative of the blessings of a strong foundation. Not because of this Bible study tonight necessarily, but because of what we've gone through and the insecurities of the last couple of months. I think when we come back and we can worship together again corporately as a group, as a congregation, I think we're going to appreciate that more than we have, perhaps since we were a new convert, and it was such a fresh thing, and it was such a new thing to be able to worship God and to feel the love and to feel his power and to feel his presence and to see him bless someone else and to be touched ourselves and to be blessed. And, you know, anything that we're around a whole lot, it's very easy to take for granted. It's very natural for us not to spend as much time thinking about it as we once did. And so I trust that when we're able to come back together and worship God corporately, there's going to be fresh appreciation. There's going to be a spirit of thanksgiving emanating from your heart, emanating from my heart, because we've stood the test of time. We've remained rooted upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. I believe that, you know, life's a little slower paced now than it was 3 months ago. Our world has changed in many ways, and in some ways, those changes, I believe, will be permanently. But hopefully, in spite of all of that, we're going to be a little more appreciative of things that we took for granted, of friends, of family, of church family, of live worship and live preaching. And I, again, I commend all of you that have been so diligent these last few months in making sure that we had church to broadcast and I could enjoy sitting at home. But, man, it's not the same. I'm thankful that we had that, because that's sure better than not having anything. But, man, there is power when we come together in person. There is power in our unity. And I am looking forward when we can do that once again. Hopefully, in this last couple of months, in this time of us becoming more appreciative of things that we took for granted, hopefully you have established some new patterns of devotion. Because most of us do have more time now than we had before. We don't have as many distractions as we had before. And if you haven't, then hopefully you do. But I believe that many of us, we have made fresh consecrations, and we've kind of gone back, if you will, and we've gotten a little more faithful, a little more consistent in our daily prayer and our daily Bible reading and devotion, and certainly lots of online opportunities for Bible studies. Every night of the week there's worship and fellowship and Bible studies that we can partake of. But I'm still looking forward to us being able to assemble together. I'm looking forward to us being able to worship as a congregation again. We need one another. We derive strength from one another. And so my prayer is that as we return to more normal times, whatever that means, and I'm not sure if any of us know exactly what that means, but my prayer is that as we get to this new normal, whatever it is, that we don't lose what we've gained over the last couple of months, that we don't lose the progress that we've made over the last couple of months, that we still make time for Jesus, because some of you are doing a great job. You're having more church now than you've had for years. You're having more Bible studies now than you've had for years and years and years. You're praying more. You're reading your Bible more. You got to keep that up, though. You know, things are starting to open up, and thank God for that. Who knows? Maybe in the next few weeks we'll actually be able to eat in a restaurant again. I don't know how soon that'll be, but I'm waiting for it. Although I have saved money. Man, I have saved money. Thank God I've been making less, as most of you have as well. But we haven't had this opportunity to spend as much either. I'm looking forward to buying some tacos and some salsa. Maybe getting the free. Some restaurants, they don't charge you for that, you know, and they just keep bringing it. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, we if you have established new habits of devotion and prayer and Bible reading, multiple Bible studies a week, multiple church services a week, don't turn all that off just because things are getting a little more normal now. And we can kind of see the light on the horizon, and it looks like things are, you know, we're making some progress here. It's not all as dark and bleak, you know, it was the end of March. Now we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. But my prayer is that you keep the promises that you made to God in the last couple of months. I've had a couple of different people tell me, Brother Drozdik, when we can have church, I'm going to be there. And these are people we hadn't seen in church in a long time. And I said, praise God, I'm going to be looking for you, brother. Let's keep the promises. If we've made commitments, if we've made consecrations, if we have made new, if we've decided that we're going to be more diligent in living for God, if we're going to be more faithful, if we're going to pray more, let's do what we told God we would do. Amen. Let's fulfill our vows to the Lord. God will bless you for that. God will help you for that as you shore up that sure foundation. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know how soon that means. I don't know if it's 30 days or next year or 30 years from now. And but we know that it's closer now than it's ever been before. And if the last couple of months has taught us anything, it's that we need to remember the foundation that we are built upon. And when we keep our focus on that foundation and we keep that shored up, we're going to be able to withstand all the stuff, the worries, the stresses, the anxieties. You know, life still happens. But when we can remember and remind ourselves that God is in control, that it works all things together for our good, and we can just stand. When you've done all else that you can do, you can stand. And so as musicians come and prepare to play tonight, and as we close, I'm inviting each of you, wherever you're at, to find a place to pray. Maybe it's kneeling. at your chair. Maybe it's sitting right where you're at. Maybe it's standing and coming to the front. But let's just spend a few moments in prayer. One, thanking God for a sure foundation, thanking Him for bringing us this far, for keeping us, for drawing us, thanking Him for loving us enough to kind of slow our world down and helping us to refocus, to reground ourselves in Him, recommitting to Him for the future, whatever the future holds, recommitting, reconsecrating to Him and saying, God, You can count on me. God, I'm still going to be here. God, I'm rooted. God, I'm grounded. God, I'm on the sure foundation, committing to Him regardless of what it holds. The Bible says the Lord is returning for a people that are looking for Him, that are expecting His return. I want that to be me. I want that to be you. Would you do that tonight as musicians play and the singers sing? Would you just spend a few moments in prayer and recommitment and reconsecration to the Lord?
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one another.